It's here and now.
Here we go.
Mark Lincoln Braun finds joy in the blues, in all its forms, and even more joy when he sits down at the piano and spreads the gospel of American boogie-woogie. Give a listen. Mark Lincoln Braun is better known as Mr. B. He lives on sloping farmland outside Ann Arbor, Michigan, and spends as much time as he can doing the two things he loves, being outdoors, doing competitive swimming, amateur baseball, anything that gets him moving, and using the same discipline and focus, he gets his fingers moving on the piano. Been practicing, Mark.
All right.
So your enthusiasm for that kind of music comes from where?
Well, I was really lucky to be raised in a family that had music around. And when I turned the age of about 16, I was just listening to most of the music that my contemporaries were listening to. I'm 58 years old now, so that means I was listening to bands like the Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin and Allman Brothers and so forth. And my dad gave me a record called Jimmy Yancey, Father of Chicago Blues Piano. And from the second I heard it, it changed my life. It was just a pivot point. I loved it instantly. And from that moment forward, I've done whatever I can do to play traditional blues piano.
And you gave us a heads up on this, so let's hear a little bit of it now. This is called Jimmy's Stuff. Not the kind of stuff that a typical teenager these days would listen to. What was it that you heard that made you say, I've got to have this?
First of all, it was beautiful, and it was truthful, and it sounded like a story. You know, that's a lot. And so I was a goner from then on, and I did whatever I could to try to learn.
And what did that include?
Well, I almost immediately began to search out all of the great first-generation blues pianists that were still alive, and I started to travel very regularly to Chicago and to the homes of pianists like Little Brother Montgomery and Sonny Land Slim and Blind John Davis, Big Moose Walker. Just really learned directly from my elders.
So what was it like? Because in some cases you actually like knocked on doors and said, here I am.
Oh, that's exactly what I did. I can tell you a short story about my first visit to Little Brother Montgomery's house. He lived on Cornell Street in Chicago, and I went and knocked on the door uninvited. I was probably 19 years old or so. And he opened the door and rather begrudgingly allowed me in. You know, I told him how much I admired him and how much I loved the piano and wanted to learn, and he asked me to play a little bit for him. And so I went over to his small upright that was in his living room and began to play, and he immediately left the room. And I was just mortified, you know. I was just embarrassed, and I thought, oh, man, am I as bad as I really thought I am, you know. And in fact, I was so discouraged, I didn't even have the courage to quit playing. I didn't know what else to do, so I just kept playing to an empty room. And after about 5 minutes or so, he walked back through the room. There was a knock on the door, and he had called Sonny Land Slim up on the telephone and said, get over here. There's a kid that plays piano just like you. You know, it would be impossible to exaggerate how meaningful that is. Those are two of the great figures of piano blues. It'd be like if you were a boxing fan to get to just to spar a few rounds with Ali and throw a ball in the backyard with Willie Mays. You know, it was really one of the brightest days of my life, and really difficult to describe how exciting and encouraging it was to me.
How do you define the art?
Well, boogie-woogie piano playing, you know, is it's a aspect of playing blues piano that is, has its origins in the freight train travel in the Deep South. And it's just an incredibly energetic, extroverted, joyous expression. And there are so many ways to play the blues on the piano. You know, you can play it the way they might have played it in New York, like a stride style. You can... You can play the blues gospel style, you know, you can... You can play it bebop style. You can play the blues the way they played it in the Delta. You know, you can play the blues like this. Which is one of my favorite ways to play. You can play the way they played the blues in New Orleans. You can... You know, the possibilities are endless.
So you have become such a proselytizer of the form, or I guess the forms, because you don't make a big distinction between boogie-woogie and blues and jazz. And this has driven you so much, and I guess driven is probably the right word, because you took a tour along the Mississippi last year. Can you tell us about this tour, which is called the Joy Box Express?
The main thing is, when I was quite young, I had dreamed of it, and I wanted to know what would happen if you put a piano on a bicycle and surprised people with the gift of music. And 30 years went by until I activated the dream. And eventually, with a lot of help from a lot of fine people and many good organizations, we were able to execute the trip. And we traveled the entire length of the Mississippi River with a 625-pound bicycle. It held a 385-pound real piano aboard. And we went up and down the river advocating for kids' access to art and athletic programs, the two passions of my life and the two parts of my life that have most enlivened me. And it just made me feel good about life. And I'm concerned that kids are losing some of those opportunities, and just didn't want to talk about it. Just wanted to be an example, just to be there. So we visited dozens and dozens of schools and played concerts up and down the entire length of the river. It was a 75-day trip, 1,840 miles, the adventure of a lifetime, and still difficult to describe the impact it had to me, and I hope to the people that we came across.
So give us an idea of what would happen. You would get off the bike and just start playing what kind of music?
Well, it's a giant tricycle with the piano on it. So I'd jump off the front, I'd rip off the waterproof cover, and I'd show people what was under that lump, you know, that it's a piano. And they might just be painting a house or sitting on a porch as we passed. And they would already be kind of awestruck and dumbstruck, you know, at just the spectacle of this thing. It takes three people to propel it. There are five wheels. It's an unbelievable sight. I'd whip off the cover and I'd say, "How'd you like to hear a little bit of, you know, a nice little boogie-woogie today?" And maybe break into something like this. And so forth, you know.
And so forth.
You know, the combination of the way of giving the gift of surprise and the sincerity, I hope, was evident, and I think was, you could see it in people's eyes. It felt fantastic to be able to do it.
Can you think of one moment where you felt the reward of that enormous effort?
Well, we knew in advance that we were really trying to reach kids, to encourage them to participate and to have their community support their access to art and athletic programs. So we're only out of the park by about a half an hour, and my knee is killing me. And I'm wondering, oh, man, am I going to make this? And we end up on a dirt road, which we thought we would not have to do. And we are in the middle of nowhere, and an enormous hill looms up in front of us. And I said to the two guys in the back, "I don't think we can make this hill." And all of a sudden, I'm faced, you know, with failure right out of the gate. And I had promised people, all the many people that told me it couldn't be done, I said, "Oh, it will be done." Well, our rear wheels started to spin out in the back. We weren't going to make it. And I hear a little commotion. I turn around, and there's a station wagon behind us in the middle of nowhere that two young children jump out, maybe around 9 or 10 years old, a brother and a sister. they got behind us and they were just enough to push us up that dirt road in the middle of nowhere. We made the hill. They rode along with us for the next couple hours. And already the tables had been turned, right? I thought I was out to do something for these kids and they saved our bacon. You know, they got us literally over the hump.
Okay. As we close this segment, I want you to put your fingers where your words are.
Let me try to play a piece for you. I talked about Little Brother Montgomery before, and I was so lucky that I was able to compose this piece and play it for him before he passed away. So I'm going to play for a very shortened down version of a ballad that I wrote as a tribute to him, which is called Little Brother.
It's Mr. B, Mark Lincoln Braun, playing and speaking to us from Stone Soup Recording Studios in Ohio. There's a documentary in the works about Mr. B's Joy Box Express tour down the Mississippi. You can find a lot more out about the man, his music, and mission to get America's kids educated about the American blues at hereandnow.org.